Well, I'd like to continue with our teaching, Substance and Evidence of Faith. Substance, Evidence of Faith. And this is part three of what we're talking about. And as you know, we have the recordings of the other messages to this on the website. But I like to take this a step further, and of course we are basing this from Hebrews 11 and verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And with that introduction, Paul goes on to the Hebrews, citing all the saints who walked by that principle, by faith, and it's all there to read and learn about. But I want us to take this a step further, and I know that we've heard a lot of this before, but as some of you are saying, even though we're going over this again, it's like we're hearing it afresh, anew. And praise God for that, because that is what God's word, his manna, is about. It's fresh every time we partake of it. And that is why we can have faith and belief in the word of God. And God expects us to ground our faith in his word, not just with the preaching that you hear, but also your time that you have with the Lord, where he speaks to you through his word. And we know so clearly, and I'm going to read it again to you, where he speaks about, so he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which we know in Romans 10, 17. And it's interesting that that there is right in the context of Israel's rejection of the gospel. So he's talking about Israel that perished because she rejected the word under Moses, didn't really hear, and he reveals that this can still happen today under the new covenant. And the warning's here, and he says it comes by hearing the word. Now, it's interesting, but how do we hear? That is the question that we raise. Our ears hear many things each day. When we get up, our ears are accustomed to all sorts of sounds and vibrations and noises and above all voices and people speaking. So our ears are all accustomed to hearing, listening to all these sounds. And God wants us to be selective with regard to our hearing. And we can listen to this, we can hear this teaching, and yet saints don't really hear it. Had they been hearing it from the heart, then many who have gone back would not have gone back, would still be with us and in fellowship and listening and appreciating the word. But they obviously were not hearing. Something has happened. Something is not working right, because we're told that faith comes by hearing. That faith to believe in the word of God and his promises. And one of the problems, we will look at some of the areas of how we hear. But the first one, the problem that is found very often amongst professing believers and even in the house of God, is selective hearing. I'm going to hear what I would like to hear. I want to hear what I believe edifies and builds me up. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is scripture. But we can also use those statements in which to excuse ourselves, where we don't maybe want to hear certain things. Why? Because it's exposing and it has my name and address on it. So we have two choices. We can either hear that, what God says, in order to heal us and deliver us, or we can choose not to hear it. In other words, we're in denial. Or we say, I'm not ready now, but maybe tomorrow or next week, I'm ready to hear that. I'll be ready for that teaching, and so on. Now, we don't, of course, say these things in so many words, but it's our thoughts, our actions that are behind there. You see, what we have to remember when we come to these meetings and God draws us together, this is the message he wants us to hear today, now. He hasn't made a mistake. I need to hear the word today, now, because this is dependent on faith, on me believing. Or there are those who choose just to ignore. They're just going to ignore the teaching, the word. I will decide when I want to listen to it and when I don't want to listen to it. But you see, those attitudes don't go along at all well with God. Let he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's the seven recordings in the book of Revelation. It's saying quite clearly there, after every church, about how you're hearing. Not when it suits you. Not at all. If God speaks, then we should have the respect and honour to listen to what he's saying, because he might not say it again. We haven't that luxury to say, I'll hear later or when it suits me. Or we find that we can't hear as we should be because we have unforgiveness in our heart and resentment and bitterness. You aren't going to hear properly. You might hear a message 10 times, 20 times. And unless you deal with unforgiveness, resentment, or sinning of the tongue, you're not going to hear properly. Because we're dealing with the heart. And all obstacles have to be removed in which the heart receives the seed of the word. That is why it's important to come in the right heart and spirit when we come into the presence of God. And that's why worship and praise is so important. Confession so important, so that we prepare ourselves for God's word that's going to give me a living, active faith. You see, not putting the Lord first, in relationship that is, this is going to stop us from hearing. Why am I stressing all of this? Because this is supernatural. This is not like reading a book or a novel. And we've all read books and we've all read novels, or we've listened to programs. And what are we doing? We're listening to words. Many words. But we don't act our faith on those words that we hear. We don't act our faith on reading a novel On the contrary, but when it comes to the word of God, faith comes by hearing this word in which we live and act our faith, these promises. And that is the difference. And that is why this book is supernatural. It's miraculous. And this is why God has preserved his revelation right down through history. No other book has been preserved and kept like God's word, the Holy Bible. Many books come and go, are in season and out of season and so on, but not the word of God, because it's revelation and it's to be acted upon. When you listen to much today, or to programs, or reading books, or whatever it is, there's much in there that you would never ever act upon in a million years. And you don't need discernment when you read that to realize that you don't act upon that novel that you're reading. But when it comes to this, and when I read this, and when I come and listen to a meeting, the anointed word, God wants me to live that and act that and move into the blessings of these promises. That is what he requires of me. Is that your attitude, your thought, your motive when you come to these meetings? It should be. That's why we should be prayed up, praying in the Spirit, ready to receive this word. It's not just another meeting, another sermon. My very soul could be required of God this night. None of us, we don't know how long we have. But each day that there is a gift, I take God's word in so that I walk by faith and not by sight. And it's to be acted upon. Some may ask, well, why believe? Why is it so important? Why this stress on believing God's word and so on? Why? Because he is Almighty God, the creator and maker of everything. And when you read this, he hasn't made a mistake. He doesn't lie. Every jot and tittle of what you read here is true. As we know in the book of Numbers, verse 23 and verse 19, the book of Numbers, verse 23 and 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. As he has said, and he will not do, or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? So there we are. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Well, of course he will, because he doesn't lie. This is pure, undefiled truth. There's not a speck, an atom in this word, the revelation of this word, that is contrary. It is completely and utterly reliable. That is why we can release faith and believe and act upon it. Now, some believe that and some don't. We're even told in Psalm, let's turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 71, Psalm 71 and verse 22. Here, some verses where he's not only faithful over his word, but to perform his word. Psalm 71, verse 22. Also, with the lute I will praise you, and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. He's faithful. He cannot deny his word. If he denies his word, then he denies his son. And this is why he magnifies his word above his name. What does... Let's turn to Jeremiah. Now, this is interesting. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 1, where Jeremiah is called of God, and listen to what he says as he is to prophesy and to be used of God in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. This is in the context of his calling, and this is what God is saying. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. He says, you have seen well, and I am ready to perform my word. He's ready. What's happening is he's waiting on us to believe, to act upon it, because he says, I'm ready to perform. In other words, to do it. I'm here waiting. I'm waiting on you to ask without doubting. That's what he's saying. And that was his commission to Jeremiah. And it's also to you and to I. We have to fulfill the conditions necessary in which to have a strong faith. And how do we get a strong faith? It's hearing and believing. Well, with that introduction, let's move on with this. We're also told that we to ask what our faith has embraced from God. So what your faith has embraced from God by hearing this word, he says he's ready to perform his word, which we've just said to you, but the only way he can do that is when you ask. And this is why faith comes by hearing, because it's the anointing that quickens us or stimulates us, or it provokes us in which to ask of God. These teachings that we're having are stirring you up and me up to ask in faith. This is why he's giving these teachings. He's bringing us back to show he is faithful, he's not made any mistake, and he wants us to ask him in faith, believing. And he's going to use any means in which to stir us up, and sometimes he does, because I believe the Lord showed me in these teachings, and I don't know how long they're going to go on for, he said, stir the people up. They're not asking as they should. They're not confessing as they should be. And why does this happen? Because we're looking to circumstances. We're listening to the devil's voice. We don't feel as though we're in faith today, or whatever it would be. That's why Now, I don't have to remind you what the scriptures tell us about asking, but we're here today to open up these scriptures. And turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. And you know this very well. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Now, just stop there at that first verse. There are three things there. Ask. Find. Knock. So, in other words, we ask, and in that asking, you will find. That's where we seek out the word of God. This is where we hear the word of God, and our faith knocks, and the door will be open. What is the knocking? Thanking, praising God that I have it in Jesus' name. I'm waiting on the manifestation. That is the knocking. But we've lost that, haven't we? And that's why we don't ask anymore. And he goes on, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. That's why we're laboring in the word of God. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. You're not giving up. You're confessing a good confession. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. So how much more will our Heavenly Father give to us, and not a substitute, what you ask for? But we have to ask in that childlike faith. A childlike faith is not a faith that is begging or pleading. We don't have to persuade God. He's already said yes. He hasn't said no. We don't have to persuade him. We don't have to keep asking all the time. You only ask once. How do we know? Because he says, doesn't he, in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. It's for his glory that we ask. It's for his glory that he says all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. It's about his glory. Now, if you love the Lord, then you want to glorify his name. And he says, by asking, believing in these promises, this glorifies me. It makes me happy. It blesses me. Because I'm able to bless you. I'm able to show that I am faithful to you. And I don't deny you. I don't give you a substitute. But through our unbelief, we stop that. We stop him from doing that. When are we going to learn? Turning back to Matthew 21 and verse 22. You know, get this well again. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And so there we are. You only have to ask once. You don't have to keep pleading. You don't have to keep going over it again just in case he didn't hear for the first time. But of course, you see, when you're doing that, that's a clear sign you're not believing. It's not there. It's not there in your confession. We'll look at that in a minute. You see, God gives us very clear signs whether we are in faith or we're not. It's because we don't want to look at them. We choose to ignore them many times. I know sometimes you think, Lord, I've been walking with you for 10 years, 20 years, even longer, and I'm still not in faith as I should be. How long does it take? Well, doesn't matter. Today could be the day. That just shows the work that God is doing. And that we're not to lose sight of this. Whatever we're going through, whatever we feel, the trouble is we still succumb so much to how I feel. And I know sometimes if one doesn't feel well, you're battling. That's real. I'm not saying it's not. But our confession and belief should not change. That is the point. And faith will always look for any opportunity in which to act its faith. It does. You see, when you're hearing right, then your faith is also active. If your faith is not active, you're not listening, you're not acting your faith, then you are not hearing right. There's a problem. Something's hindering. And that's why I always keep saying, keep coming, keep listening, come under the anointing, and whatever's the problem, whatever's the hindrance, whatever hindering your faith will be exposed, will be dealt with by the mercy and grace of God. But there's no help, there's no guarantee when you run off, which so many do. And what do they run to? They simply run back, and the freedom they have is in which to choose which way to sin and walk in unbelief. That's what they run back to. Thank God in his mercy and grace, he keeps us with this. And why? Because of his glory. Well, thirdly, let's move on to this. We'll know if it's faith and it's an active faith because it's going to come out in the confession. Now, we all know what Romans tells us. We read it many times, but it's so applicable with regard to what I'm talking here at the moment in this. But Romans 10, verse 10. Romans 10 and verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There we are. So if you are truly born again, you have a right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. Then it has to come out in confession. It has to come out in praise and in worship and in prayers and in witness. Why? Because the heart has been changed. It's been affected. It's been moved. And that is how our faith works. The heart is moved. That is where we receive the seed, the revelation of faith. And that is why we're to keep our hearts. We're to walk humbly and right before God, because we can defile our hearts so easily. And there is the problem. This is why we've got to confess and bring sin and bring it under the blood of Jesus for this very purpose, so that my heart can change by the word of God, or be enlarged, as the word says. But remember, we confess what we, I should say, we receive what we confess. We receive what we confess. Let's just look at this to remind ourselves in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold unto eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Here, the apostle is encouraging young Timothy, strong in the faith. He says, continue with it. Yes, fight the good fight of faith. That's why you are in a warfare. We are in warfare because of the faith message, the teaching. Satan doesn't like faith being taught. And that's why there's not a lot of it taught, sadly. Because when it's taught, you are in warfare, in a battle. And he says to him, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's what our faith is for, that we will make it into the kingdom of God, ultimately, to which you were also called. So thank God we're called from the foundation of the world and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So he's saying, you've confessed and are confessing. You're not letting the enemy try to hinder or change your confession, because that's what the fight is about. He's fighting in your mind, in your thinking, to stop you confessing that by stripes I was healed at Calvary. He's warring against that. He's warring against that in your mind, because he wants you to change your confession. Because he knows that the power of God's word is going to answer that confession. Guard it. It's best to keep your mouth shut and don't say anything. We need to be on our guard when people ask how we are. Or how's your week been? Or how is your job going? Oh, well, you know, it's been a tough week, and oh, the enemy's had a go, and oh, I was battling some symptoms, and so it goes on. Just listen. That's how we talk half the time. And we wonder why we're not in faith as we should be. No. We've got to let this word take hold of us and change us. Hallelujah. What is it saying, James? You know these all very well, but we need to hear them. James chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. James chapter 1, 6 to 7. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And some are not receiving anything, or very, very little, because they're doubting. Because it's easier to go to the arm of the flesh. It's easier to ask man than to ask God and wait on him. And praise him and thank him that you have it in Jesus' name. Your condition or circumstances will never rise above your confession. Your condition or circumstances will never rise above your confession. Whatever you are confessing, whatever you are saying, you will not rise above it. You're bound by it. And that's why Paul encouraged Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Satan is fighting against your faith, your confession. Why would he do that? Because he knows that the heart of our Father is to give where faith is, a mustard seed of faith. That's why. Yet we too often listen to him and give in. We know very well what Proverbs 6 and verse 2 tells us. Proverbs 6 and verse 2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. There we are. A snare is what? A trap. You're trapped, you are snared, you're held by a wrong confession. Why am I making so much of this? Because confession has to agree with God's word. And what is coming out of your mouth does not agree. And again, let's just remind ourselves that Greek word homologio, which means to agree, to speak the same language. You have to speak the same language that God has spoken in his word to you over your circumstances, over your health, over your finances, over your job, all those things that we meet each day, we are to agree and speak God's word over it. Because if you don't, you are snared, you're held in a trap. And then the depression and oppression starts to come. And because nothing's happening, you start to become despondent. Oh, my faith doesn't seem to be working. Look at others, they get blessed and so on. It's easy. The enemy wants to snare us and hold us with our confession, because that's where he can start to work depression and confusion. And sadly, we have so many in the house of God are held, are snared by their confession. Why? Because they don't know the promises of God's word. And they're not encouraged to believe them and act upon them. It's vital that we are speaking this same language. It has to be in agreement. Not that I'm hoping it will happen or it might happen, because that is a lot of our faith. Oh, I'm hoping, yes, I'm just holding on with that mustard seed of faith. It might sound very devout and humble, but that doesn't please God when he hears that. No, we're to come boldly before him and confess and believe upon his word. Because we're agreeing with his word. And that's why we can start to believe in these promises and some that we go over again and again and again. As it says in Mark 11, 24, again, let's just remind ourselves, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. He's made no mistake. He says, you will have them. Not might or whatever. Not at all. I think we're beginning to see now, aren't we, why the Lord's going over this again with us. We've let some things slip. We've allowed despondency, and we've been listening a bit to the devil, haven't we, and the world, and what's happening, and what's happening around the world, and how things are going. We're above it, brothers and sisters. The word says that we're seated with him in heavenly places. Whatever's going on, whatever you've seen today, or how bad the news, or whatever it would be, and it's all going to get worse and worse, I am above this, for I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. That is our standing. Your standing spiritually is not in this world, not on this earth. It is in the heavens, is where spiritually I stand with my Lord and Saviour. And that's why in many ways we're looking down on all of this with those eyes of an eagle that flies high. Because God wants us to see. God wants us to see the deeper life, to see these promises. And these promises are appropriated because I'm in heaven by faith. I'm with him. How much more then does he want to bless and give to us? Yes, in this life. But remember this as I close. Whatever your blessings are, and he's going to bless abundantly, I believe, after these teachings are finished. Remember this. You always share what you are blessed with, that others too can be blessed. You can never outgive God.